Lord Jesus, give us your day as we move forward in this service. Help us to focus on your word, focus on your praise and your worship, and what you want us to learn from today. In Jesus' name, amen. So real quickly, we're not going to try to make up for lost time. It was not lost time. But we are going to go ahead and give you some quick announcements here. You've got your bulletin. I'm not going to read it for you. But the men's Bible study is tomorrow night at 6:30 in the pastor's office. Some of you are, I mean, pretty much everybody in here is participating in that. 6:30, if you guys can make it. If you need a ride, let somebody know. If any of you need a ride, let us know. We want you to be there because we have a lot of fun returning to Mayberry. Brian Riley, our pastor of family and children, is working on a schedule for daycare. So if you, nursery. Well, I'm sorry, not daycare. He doesn't want daycare. Nursery. So you might have signed up already and wondering what happened to that. He's going to be in touch with you about completing that process and getting that going. He'll be talking to you specifically about what the next steps are. Women's conference coming up. That Misty's going to speak of, but we also have a shortage in our mentor care program with Jamie. There's a shortage of funds this week to prepare and provide the snack foods to enable the mentors to mentor. So not that the mentors need it, but the young people, some of them are not eating at all, and that might be a great way to help them. So in today's offering, if you need an envelope or you just want to write a check or you want to donate something, just let us know some way that what you're giving in that case is for the mentor program. We'll bring out some envelopes if you need it, whatever you need. Okay? All right, Operation Christmas Child is still going. We'll still have the packing party November 12th. We settled on that again. November 12th coming up. We also have some boxes. If you want to take a box home and pack it specifically your way and then bring it back to the packing party, do that. We're going to welcome any kind of shoe boxes that we can get. Amen? Well, let's rise and start our service in prayer and in praise and worship this morning.
About the women's conference that's coming up in March. It is a Friday night, Saturday at Crossroads Christian Church, so it's a good opportunity for us to go just right down the road and really be blessed by some women that will share through their testimony and music and so forth. So if you are interested in that, you need to pay the $32 deposit prior to the 30th. And there's a form to fill out on the back table. So just fill that out and turn that in with your deposit, and the remaining $32 will be due in December. Okay? We're going to sing hymn 746, He Keeps Me Singing. Thank you.
Pray with me. Father, we pause and we acknowledge you in the midst of chaos and concern and worry. You are our stability, and we trust in you. Father, let this time that we are gathered before you be a time to renew us as we praise and worship you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. We are continuing our series on being disciples, on making them and being one. This morning we're going to look at how our attitudes determine what kind of disciples we are. And listen at John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What are you proving to the world?
Says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your heart. We thank you for your love for us. As we open your word, open our minds. Father, we want to be more like you. And we know that part of that requires that our attitudes be like yours. Father, show us what that means as we read your word. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and let us hear you today, that we may be more like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The first time I heard that song, the chorus overwhelmed me with the thought that there has not ever been one moment, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad it is, no matter how much you've turned your back on him, or how bad of an attitude you've had, there is not one single moment that God regretted going to the cross for you. Let that engulf you. There's not one split second that God said, I wished I hadn't have done that. Wow. And the thought that there is nothing in God's heart for you other than love. Nothing else. Every time he thinks of you, every moment, it's in love. And what he wants from us is that same attitude. Because no matter who you encounter, how much you don't like them, how much you think they need to change, God sees them just as he sees you. And that is, he is so glad he went to the cross and they have the opportunity to be redeemed. So our attitude determines what kind of disciples we are and whether or not we can make disciples. Turn with me back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. We're going to spend a lot of time over this over the next few weeks as we work through this series, but the disciples want to know what's important. Now, for you list makers and you box checkers, okay? Those of us who are like me, I need to know, what do I need to accomplish? I need to check the box, okay? I need to know. We are the ones asking this question to Jesus. Teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? They're asking this because they want to know, what do I have to do to get this done? Okay? In school, y'all want to know what it is I have to do. At work, you want to know, what are my responsibilities to be successful? And here the disciples are saying, what's most important? Jesus replies, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you think about the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God. The last six are about loving people. Jesus boiled it down to us. If you do those two things, you're good. If you do those two things, you are exactly where I want you to be. But then for us, there's this challenge. And most often it has to do with our attitudes. your attitude will get the best of you, even when you don't want it. I want to illustrate this for you this morning. Watch this. See if you can relate.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, look for your car. Walk at an angle across the street. Just stay in the way of the cars for as long as you possibly can. There's no reason we wouldn't want this lot all congested or anything. People to be able... Okay, no, I'll stop while you look for your keys. It's cool. Reply all. Yeah, go ahead. Just stand in front of the car. She said, just tell me when you can be there. She didn't say tell everyone when you can be there. I just need to... Oh, I hate this. Oh, I love Jesus, though. Okay, delete that one. How do you not know what you wanted? You waited behind three other cars. Just stop hitting reply all. Just answer the one person. Why reply... Oh, it's Bill. He's gonna want to talk to me about his fantasy football team. I don't care. Ugh. Hey, who microwaves salmon in an office full of people? Honestly. I didn't watch the game. I told you I don't watch the game. I don't care who you got. Just respond to the person you need to respond to, not everyone in the office. I don't care how you're ranked. I'm just gonna pull in. Close the door. Oh, they're ordering like 20 drinks for the office. Go inside. Pretend you don't see him. Oh, I hate this. Oh, good, he's giving up. I hate that guy. But I love Jesus.
Hey.
Yeah.
I need those express reports by Friday.
No problem. I hate that guy.
Does it remind you of anybody you know? The more of us that is in us, the more of that we act. Turn with me, Matthew 28. Just a few chapters over. Matthew 28. This is a story that we know very well, and whenever we talk about servanthood, this is immediately where most of us think. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, the new disciples, to obey the commandments that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always." Now, remember how that starts, because it's very interesting and it's important. Jesus came to the disciples and told them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Turn over with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 3 through 5. Jesus knew that his Father had given him all authority over everything. He had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet. Did you catch the part at the beginning? Jesus, there's a couple of times that Jesus says, "The authority has been given to me now." Jesus is saying, "I'm in charge, and this is what I want you to do." And so he's given us the example of what it means to be a servant. And what Jesus, can you imagine for a moment Jesus washing your feet? If we want that kind of attitude, we have to be more focused on Him than we are us. The problem with the guy in the video that has been every one of us at some point in time is that video is all about me. I have a quiz for you this morning. Remember the oil and water? How do I get the oil out of there? I can. If I take the top off of this and I start pouring more water in here, the oil is eventually going to get pushed out. Now, there'll be some residue of oil in here, but the more water I put in here, the less oil there's going to be. If you want to change your attitude, the more Jesus you put in of you, the less of you is going to be there. If you want an attitude where you're washing people's feet, put more Jesus in your life. It'll push the you out. Drop down a few verses to verse 12. After washing their feet, he put his robe on and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's who I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Now, Jesus is not telling you to go around and asking everybody, can you wash their feet? Okay? For you literal people, that's not what he's saying. You might need to, but the thought here is, does anybody wear flip-flops? Let me just tell you, put on some shoes. Okay? But in Jesus' day, they wore flip-flops. That's all they had, okay? And their feet was dirty. And when you invited people over, generally you would have a servant, and this is the lowest job in the house, okay? You would have a servant who would wash your guest's feet when they came in. Can you imagine the servants trying to decide who was going to get that job? And then to have the Lord of the universe volunteer. It turns our thinking completely upside down. And Jesus said, "I did it for you, and what I'm expecting for you to do is you go do that." Because when we walk out of this room with that attitude, we change the world. Because people cannot understand genuine love with no strings attached. They can't. It does not compute. There, you have to have a motive. There has to be something in return for the world. You're doing this because. Jesus says, do it because I love you. Look at what he said. "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are greater than their master. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor the message more important than the one who's sending it. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." I talk a lot about God's economy, and it's confusing to me, because what you want, the more you chase it, the further it'll get from you. And in God's economy, if you give love, you'll get love. But if you chase love, rarely will you ever get true love. And what God is telling you and I, if we want to be disciples, and the command to go and make disciples is not a suggestion. Did you get that part? That's really the most important part for us. When we signed up and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and change my life, he handed you a job description. And there's one line on it. Go and make disciples. That's it. Everything that we do from the point we accepted Christ to the point we join him in eternity is about making disciples. And the start of making disciples is determined by our attitude. Because making disciples is not all about beating somebody over the head with a Bible and saying, you need to know Jesus. Because my preacher said, one person every 2 seconds dies to go to hell, and I think you're one of them. That won't get you where you need to be. But washing their feet will. And if you want to have the attitude of washing feet out there, you got to pour more water in your jug and push the oil out. I want to close with this thought. Both a hummingbird and a vulture fly over the same area, and they look for two different things. A vulture looks for death to devour it. A hummingbird, even in the desert, looks for the flowers of new. And your attitude determines whether you're a vulture or a hummingbird. No matter what you encounter in life, no matter what situation, whether you're at the drive-thru, or at work, or at home, who you're encountering, your attitude is going to determine whether you're a vulture or a hummingbird. So if you want to be more like Jesus and follow his commandment of washing feet, we have to change our attitudes and put more of him in us and less of us in us. Pray with me. Father, our desire is to make disciples. And we ask you to change our attitudes, to change our hearts, to make us more like you every moment of every day. That we are focused and aware of how our attitudes affect our witness. Father, I pray for the people in this room that we come closer to you and be more like you. That we follow your example of being servants to those around us with no strings attached. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.